Who believes prayer changes things? Prayer does change things. I read on Facebook today that just in the last couple of days, down on the town fields, late one night, somebody attempted to rape a lady just down on the town fields. This has been going on now for the last few years. More and more of this is happening. The police shrug their shoulders. You know, the only thing that's going to change this is prayer. The only thing that's going to change this area is prayer. Are you going to let the devil take over the area? And it's not petitions. You know, people are up in arms wanting to sign petitions for this, that and the other. The petitions are going to the wrong places. Yeah. The council just do that with no money. Yeah. Our petitions need to be going through to the kingdom. Amen. Our petitions need to be going through to God.
Yeah.
At the moment, the things in our nation are all in a mess, in turmoil because of Brexit. And as we've heard, patients has prayed for Boris Johnson, you know, they're going to try and indict him and put him in prison. He carries a life sentence basically for what he's supposed to have done. Well, that's okay. There's another 650 going to be joining them, because they're in an MP that aren't yet lied, so they'll all be joining them. So we'll have no government, thank God. Maybe we can have a place that is moving forward. You know, I don't know, but you know, this is just farcical. But this is where the world is at. The problem is the church is not standing up for it, for the things of God. The church is just simply coming and attending and having a happy clappy time and then going home and saying, I've got my star card, Mark, I'm okay, everything's fine. Well, guess what? It's not. And it will get worse if the church doesn't arise and cause its enemies to scatter. And so it is so important, and prayer is the most powerful thing that we can use against the enemy, because we are not petitioning local authorities, we are not petitioning governments, we are not petitioning MPs, we're petitioning the highest authority in the universe, and that is God Almighty. And He listens to our petitions, and Jesus is our attorney. He is the high priest of our confessions. And so we have to begin to align our confessions up with the Word of God. We have to align ourselves with the things of God and begin to move. And so today, I want to spend some time with you and do a teaching on counterattack. Petitioning, prayer. This is what we've got to begin to look at in the way that we present it. Our request towards God, and the fact that we should operate in faith as and when we pray.
Amen.
Don't pray prayers, Lord, if it be thy will. Because if you're praying, if it be thy will, O God, then that means you don't really know what God's will is. So the best thing you can do is to get in your Bible and begin to find out what the Word of God is saying.
Yes.
The Word of God is key to everything that we do.
Yeah.
In John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 19, before we just move into that study, this is something that Jesus said. And really, He emphasizes the point of the presence and the power of the Word, actually. So that's John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 9. And it says this: my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you.
Yeah.
Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about?
Yeah.
Anybody got me? Other than Grace got an answer? Who's he talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, us. So Jesus is right there praying for us right now.
Amen.
Because, he said, these disciples, they belong to me. And he says, and all of them, since they are mine, belong to you, God. And you have given them back to me so that they are my glory.
Amen.
Preach on this one about giving. Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. Just keeps coming back. Verse 11 says, now I am departing the world, I am leaving them behind and coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them and care for them, all those you have given me, so that they will be united just as we are.
Amen.
See, Jesus is about unity.
Yes.
He's about being united, because in the unity there is power.
Amen.
In unity in prayer, it will move mountains.
It
will change circumstances. It will change situations.
Yeah.
And so God is, Jesus is praying that you and I would be just like Him and His Heavenly Father. They are one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because
yeah.
They said to Him, Lord, show us the Father. And what did He say? If you've seen me, you've seen my Father.
Yeah.
Because I only do, He said, what I see the Father doing. So Jesus is an absolute carbon copy of Father God.
Yes.
Absolute copy
uh-huh.
of Father God. Made in His image. Verse 13, He says, now I am coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them, so that they would be filled with my joy.
Amen.
You know, when you look at Christians,
yeah.
they've got deep joy. It's so deep, you need a massive pump to get it to come up. It is buried so deep, you know. I'm full of the joy of the Lord. Really? Yeah, you look it. And we expect people to sort of come to church or to believe in what we believe in, a Christ that is risen, ascended and glorified, in a God that cares for us and looks after us, and we're miserable as sin. I am full of the joy of the Lord because He has made me, He's created me. And you know something? Every day He protects me from doing dumb and stupid things. It's true. The enemy wants you to do dumb and stupid things. Oh, no, I don't believe that, Andrew. Have you ever been tempted?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's one thing for sure.
Yeah.
There is forgiveness.
Amen.
For all our sins.
Amen.
There's forgiveness for all our failings.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so God wants to, as grace says, He wants to restore us.
Amen.
Yeah, you can make mistakes.
Yes.
But it's keeping short accounts with God and going back to God and saying, God, I'm so sorry, forgive me. And God will do it. Because He cares for us. But, like at the breaking of bread table, we don't use the grace of God to just keep sinning.
No.
We use it so that we can approach God
Amen.
And be forgiven and be set on a new way, and that we will be sin conquerors.
Yes. Okay.
Or we will be conquerors over temptations.
Yes.
You know, God's the word tells us He's given us the power over the temptation. He said there's no temptation that can overtake you. Yet God is going to give, He's going to equip us to be powerful. Now, if God is concerned about that, He's even more concerned about our prayer life. Because it's in our prayer life that we draw closer to Him. It's in our prayer life that we find the presence and the power that will cause us to walk in victory after victory after victory. Who wants victory? Anybody want victory? I want a victory. In fact, I want more than one victory. I'm not satisfied with one victory. I want an absolute annihilation
yeah.
of the devil
yeah.
and his wicked ways.
Yeah.
God wants His church to arise
yeah.
and cause His enemies to be scattered.
Yeah.
goes on to say there in verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not. If you want to curry favour with the world, you are not lining up with the word of God. You are not lining up with Jesus Christ. The two opposites. I would rather have favour with God, who is eternal and has eternal plans, than to have favour with somebody in the world who can be gone just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I remember, that just reminds me of something. I remember a man who came to the company that I worked for, and honestly, he appeared out of nowhere. And he suddenly got this. He made a job for himself within the company. He sold himself that well, but he got a really top job. But in his top job, he became a trouble causer. He became a manipulator of people. He would use people against each other to allow himself to step up higher. And one day he came to my office, and I went to his office for something, and he rang somebody about some issue, some work that we were doing. And he began to lie to this person in front of me and began to manipulate the conversation so that he was trying to get this person to confess to something so that I would hear it, and then I would say, yeah, it's their fault. And I just thought, yeah, every time you call me, when you're on that phone, that Tannoy phone, you know, the phones that where you just have the speaker phone, I know every time you call me, you do exactly the same thing to me. You attempt to deceive me. You attempt to put me into a trap. And he fell into his own trap. Glory to God. God is looking for uprightness. God is looking for people who are upright and righteous. And as we will remain upright and righteous, because we have the word of God within us.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, the word is in them. You know, I kept them. He said, Jesus said to his father, said in verse 15, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one.
Yeah.
So guess what? There is no sudden rapture coming to whip us out and take us away. It's about taking the kingdom, taking our authority on the earth, and taking back what is rightly belonging to the people and to the children of God. I do not believe in the rapture theory. I'm not looking for somebody to come and bail me out. I'm looking to be an overcomer. I'm looking to be a one who is victorious over everything. I'm looking because the word of God said that through Christ Jesus we are more than conquerors. And if we're not going to be conquerors, then what are we going to be? We're going to be defeated. We're going to let people rule and reign over us. No, the word of God says you're more than a conqueror. You're expected. The expectancy of God is that you will be victorious in your life, and that you will have a great life and a powerful life. In verse 16 says, they are not part of this world anymore than I am. He says, verse 17, make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. The only thing that keeps us holy and true is the word of God. It is not TV. It is not just singing, but it is the word of God. The word of God is the thing that cleans us. The word of God is that which delivers us. The word of God is that which empowers us. The word of God is that which protects us. The word of God is that which gives us authority. The word of God is that which provides for us. The word of God is that which protects us. What is your need? God says, I am. Whatever you need. God says, I am.
Amen.
Do you need peace? God says, I am your peace. Do you need saving? God says, I am your Savior. There's nobody else that can save you. There's nobody else that can set you free. Only Jesus.
Amen.
Verse 18, it says, "You sent me into this world, I am sending them into the world."
Yes.
There's no escape.
No.
He's sending you and me into the world.
Amen.
Because we have to affect the world around us.
Yes.
None of us live in isolation. Some of us might like to do, but you're not gonna. You cannot live in isolation. You must live in the presence of a living God. And Jesus goes on and says in verse 19, "I give myself entirely to you so that they might also be entirely yours." I am praying not for these disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that that thy will be done. And as you and I are one, Father, that just as you are in me and I am in you also, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent us. It is about Jesus living in each and every one of us. It is about the Christ being seen and being manifest in each and every one of us. Now let's turn into Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. How should we pray? We should pray by using the Word of God. You find in the notes here that we've put together, this hopefully should do help you pray. There's nothing wrong with putting your name into the Word of God. Put in your family's name, your wife's name, your husband's name, your children's, your friends. Make this, you know, this word is personal to us. This is a living word. It's not a dead letter. It's not just an encyclopedia that we're reading from. This is a word that has power. This is the word that is life-changing. This is the word that brings in the kingdom of God. And so this is what we need to do in family lives, in our own lives, as we pray. And so the Bible is here to guide us and to direct us. The Bible is the manual for living life on earth. So let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And it says there, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed." Who's he blessed? Put your name in. Has he blessed you?
Yes.
Herman, has he blessed you?
Yes.
Amen. You put your name in there. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed grace
yes.
with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus."
Yes.
He's blessed Jolie. Amen? You might say, "Well, I can't see that." Well, start to pray it.
Amen.
And you'll begin to see it.
Amen.
Start to pray the Word of God. Start to confess the Word of God with your name in there, and you will begin to see it happening in your life.
Amen.
Because it says that when we speak the Word, we speak life.
Yeah.
We actually loose spiritual dynamics when we speak the Word of God. We begin to press into principalities and powers and cause them to lose their grip. Cause them to lose focus on what is happening in our lives, and we bring destruction against them. And if you've got some issues going on in your life, then you can begin to use this word.
Yeah.
Use the Word of God. It says in verse 4, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose Daniel in him before the foundations of the world, that Daniel will be holy and blameless before him in love. This is about you. Paul is writing about you. And when you begin to realize this, you can pray this. And begin to pray this for yourself. Lord, this is what you have said about me. There is so much negativity in the world today. We need to hear some good things about us. We need to hear what the Bible says. You see, God is not a liar. God will not lie to you. He looks at you and he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. He's going to pour out his love towards you. He's going to minister into your life. Verse 5 says, he predestined. Well, let's just stop before we get to it. What blew my mind years back was when I suddenly realized that before God had even formed the earth, I was known and I was blessed. I was chosen. Wow. Think of that one. Just float that thought, right? Even before the world was founded, even before the galaxies existed, God knew your name.
Amen.
And God determined that he was going to bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Right through the eons of time, the Spirit of God is calling your name.
Amen.
Blew me away. That me, who am I? Who am I? And yet the Creator of all things is interested in John, Andrew, Chris. He's interested in us. Says he predestined, verse 5, he predestined Daniel to the adoption of the son through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. God is kindly disposed to his people.
Amen.
To the praise and the glory of his grace, which he will freely bestow on who's next? Who wants to have his grace freely bestowed upon them?
Amen.
So patience, you put your name in there, say his grace is freely bestowed upon patience, upon me, in the beloved.
Amen.
In him, patience has redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Wow. You can take that part of scripture and begin to put your name in there. Now, I know some people might say, oh, I've read in the Bible where it says that nobody had or take from this book. But that's talking about Revelation, the book of Revelation. Boom. Nothing else. Okay? You see, today, right now, each and every one of us is a book being written. The book of patience, the book of Daniel. Is this Daniel 2 or is it Daniel 5? I don't know. It's Daniel 2. Chapter 2, yeah. A new chapter. And so, each of our lives is being written. Are we going to do great exploits for the Lord? Daniel prayed. And the answer was immediately sent. It took a few days to arrive, but the answer was sent. We need to be punching holes in spiritual forces. We need to be bringing confusion into the spiritual forces that seek to come against us,
yeah.
that seek to bring sickness upon us,
yeah.
that seek to bring us down,
yeah.
that seek to hold us back. The devil should have no power or authority over each and every one of us. And the only time that the devil has power and authority is when you allow it. When you move into rebellion and you allow the devil, you invite him in right at that point in time. The moment you move into rebellion, because the Bible says in the Old Testament, when Saul rebelled against the word of God, he was told that what he did was as the sin of witchcraft. And rebellion is practicing witchcraft. And our nations are in rebellion. Our nations are in rebellion. They're practicing witchcraft against a holy God. And he will not put up with that. So for each and every one of us, we need to press into the things of God. Verse 16 says, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Here's Paul saying, I'm praying for you. You know, when somebody says, will you pray for me? What do? Do you mention their name before God? Yeah, of course you do. Folk ring me up and say, will you pray for my mum, for my dad? And what's his name? What's their name? And we lift them up before God, don't we? Same thing. There's no issue. Oh, I'm not sure you can change the word of God. No, we're not changing it. We're putting what is important. We're changing it from just a non sort of person to actually. Well, it says there. It says that the Lord. It says that the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. Give you. Who's you? What's your name? You's got a name, haven't you? You's got a name. And the Lord God, that the Lord God the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to Patience, Charles, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. You want gifts and spiritual gifts, you're going to start to talk about it and pray about it and seek the presence of God. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of patience and heart may be enlightened. If you want to know something, if you want enlightening, then you better start praying about it. And seeking God. Calling it in. Calling the provisions that you don't have, calling them into your life. God is a God of provision. You have not, the Bible says, because you did not ask. He says, seek. Knock. You'll find. This is what we need to be planning to do. This is the things that we need to be going forward for. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of Helen heart may be enlightened so that she may know what is the hope of her calling. Or his calling. His or her. His calling in you. What is the calling? What is God's calling on you today? See, when I met Daniel all those years ago, he had a calling on his life. The trouble was, it was being called by the devil. And a calling for destruction. But we met him. We met him on a crossroads. And we pointed him to a greater calling. And in that greater calling, he was given life, and that more abundantly. Because at that point on that crossroads, he chose the calling,
Amen.
The true calling,
yes.
and began to walk the journey. God is calling each and every one of us.
Yes.
And if you get to a point where you're in a crossroads situation, make sure you hear the voice of God. And you might say, well, how do I know that I've heard the voice of God? Because when you hear the voice of God brings peace. The voice of God never brings turmoil and anxiety. He brings peace. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of pressure, in the midst of difficulty, if you hear the voice of God, you will find immediately peace. You know that right there you can settle and you can rest. But if you're in rebellion, you're not settled. You're not at peace. You're just itching to get up and go, do your own thing, and reap your own rewards. And find that God will just take his hand off you and allow you to suffer the consequences thereof. And then everybody says, well, why did God let that happen to me? He didn't let it happen. You choose to walk away. You see, our lives have to be surrendered to God. And in our surrendering, all these things begin to come into our lives. We can pray these into our lives. Because we've surrendered to God, and God says, I'm pouring into you all my blessings. I'm pouring into you my fullness.
Amen.
Verse 19, what is the surpassing greatness of his power? It's his power towards us who believe. Do you believe? Say, yes, Lord, I believe. Say, yes, Lord, I believe. Because it is, it's about believing. You see, when Daniel came to that crossroads, he had to believe there was a greater power. He had to believe that Jesus had actually died for him. And in that believing, he took a different journey. He took a journey into eternal life. And so we can read on, and these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his spirit, of his might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus when he raised us from the dead and seated him in his right hand in heavenly places. At his right hand in heavenly places. You see, Christ is seated in heavenly places right now. And he says, we are, where are we? In Christ. And therefore, if Christ is seated at the right hand of God, where should we be? Where should we believe we are? We can whisper in the ear of the Almighty God. Think about that. Just, if you've got an imagination, just think about that. You're in Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. You can whisper into Father's ear. Oh, I don't believe that, Andrew. Well, I believe that God wants to restore all things back to himself. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be. And you know, Genesis, God came into the cool of garden. You spoke about it last week. Why did he come? He came so that Adam could whisper in his ear. He came that Eve could whisper into God's ear.
Amen.
Mind blowing. That scripture says, Joshua says, choose you. Choose this day who you will serve. And just because you might say, well, I haven't yet made my mind up, but you have. Because you were born in sin, and you are sin. You're already living in the sin, in the camp of sin. And so our lives need to make that decision where we say, I'm changing my dwelling. I'm changing where I'm living. I'm moving my accommodation. I'm making a decision to follow Christ. We turn to Colossians chapter 1. Again, Paul is writing to the church in Colossians, and he continues. He's praying for them, ministering unto them. And he goes on and says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for." Put your name in there. Pray. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. What is God's will for you? Oh, I don't know, Andrew. Well, begin to get into the Word. Begin to talk to the Heavenly Father, and He'll begin to show you His will. Don't be distracted by the things going on around you, but seek His face, seek His presence, and in doing so you will find that purpose and plan and will for your life. God is not a God of, what's the word I'm looking for? Confusion. He's not a God of confusion. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of presence, and He's a God of power. That's what He is. And God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and to equip us with His power, and to equip us, and that we might know His presence. And in knowing Him, we know that everything that Jesus had is available to us right now. God has not left us without. We have to begin to move into it. We have to begin to appropriate it, partake of it, and begin to let it happen in our lives. And so verse 10 says, so that Andrew will walk in all manner worthy of the Lord, to please God in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wow. That is something fantastic. God, see, God wants it to happen. Paul is praying these things for the people there. So if he's doing it, there's no reason why you and I cannot pray these things. You know, praying for your husband, praying for your wife, praying for your children. Put your children's name in there and begin to lift them up before the Lord. And declare this over their lives. Who wants their children to be successful? Their children might not want to be. But you do. Verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. You've got your name in there again, haven't you? Patience just before. And joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified. Oh, praise God. Thank God. You know, it is not somebody else that's qualifying us. It is God the Almighty who is actually qualifying you. It is not somebody else that's saying, oh yeah, it's okay for you. No, it is God Himself. Our Father is qualifying us. It's qualifying grace to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We're qualified. He's rescued angel.
Yes,
from the domain of darkness. And transferred angel
to the kingdom
of His beloved Son. You know, can you see what I'm saying? That, you know, we are now attesting principalities and powers. We are pressing in and saying, this is my child. This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my wife. This is my husband. This is my father. Yeah, mother, I am bringing these in before you, Father, and I am using the Word of God, because the Word of God is the most powerful thing. It says in the Word, it says, it is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
And we have to begin to use the Word of God. You know, don't be people who are just muttering prayers. Lord, bless my so-and-so, bless so-and-so, and bless so-and-so. What is a blessing? I get people on the phone all the time. Take care. And I pull them up every time. I said, I don't do care. What do you mean? I don't do care. The Bible says, cast all my cares. I'm not carrying cares. I'm hurling them on God. That phrase cast means to hurl your cares on God. Get rid of them. I'm living in God's abundant blessings. I'm living in God's provisions. How do you do it, Andrew? Because I stay close to Him. I stay in His presence as much as I can. I do make mistakes, believe it or not. But He's forgiving. He's caring. He's kind. He's generous. Hallelujah. He has rescued joy from the domain of darkness and transformed joy to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He's rescued Linda from the dominion of darkness and transferred Linda to the kingdom of His beloved Son.
Yes.
Your name is in the book.
Amen.
Think about that. Your name is in the book.
Yes.
You see how much God cares about you. See, God has written in truth personal letters to you. Why would God write to me? Do you know something? When I was at university, I came home on Friday. So I was with Grace Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I had to go back to university. Do you know, as soon as I got to university, on Monday evening, I was writing a letter. It's true. And do you know something? She tells me she's still got the letters. And then I'd race to the post box, you know. And then sometimes they might suddenly say to us, hey, my car was all beat up, thing, you know what I mean, the bearings rattled. I mean, you couldn't hear anything going down the motorway other than this clack, 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 clack. The big ends were knocking in the bottom, you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes I'd think on a Wednesday, I can have this evening off. I don't have any work to do for college. And I'd jump in the car and I'd head over, you know, I'd journey that 30 miles there just to go and see her. Then I'd journey 30 miles back to be back at for the next day for college. And, you know, we didn't have much money then in that sense. But you know, why did I do that? Huh? Love. Love. I was smitten. I was addicted. You know what I mean? Yeah. Of course you do. I was smitten. I was addicted. Do you know something? God is smitten.
Yes.
And He's addicted to you.
Yes.
He will journey.
Yeah.
I don't know how many light years.
Yeah.
To be with you.
Wow.
Right now.
Wow.
How far away is God? You know, they're sending out spaceships and satellites and they're looking for God.
Oh.
We haven't found God yet. You haven't got out of the galaxy yet, for goodness sake. No, he's still riding down, you know, Main Street in the first galaxy. We haven't got to the next one yet. And then they say, well, where's God? Right in us. His very presence. His very presence. His spirit. How fast does a spirit travel? Certainly, it's faster than light. Have you seen the Holy Spirit? Have you heard the Holy Spirit? Yeah. But his movements are faster than light. And because they're faster than light, he's invisible. Glory to God. You know, that new body that Jesus had, you know, he just went up to this brick wall and went and walked straight through it. You try it.
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, you know. Oh, that hurt, didn't it? You know. Oh boy. And then Jesus said, look, you don't believe I'm real? Feed me. Touch me, hold me. Know that I am real. He's messing with your mind. Do you know that? God is messing with your mind. You know, we all have these ideas that this is how it's going to be. And then God comes along and messes with your mind. God, I had all this organized. He says, yeah. He says, but I know my plans that I have for you. They're higher than your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And here we are, we're trying to box God in. Here we are sort of saying, oh well, you know, it's all God's fault that this is happening, and I don't really want anything to do with this God. Well, you're missing the greatest contact, you're missing the most fantastic experience that you'll ever have in knowing this Christ, the Son of the living God, in knowing God personally, in being able to speak to the Creator of the universe. And that ability to actually pray for people who have no sight.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. And instantly, eyes are open. I've seen it. I had the privilege of that happening. And say, Christian life's boring. Deaf ears being unstopped, you've seen the lady. Blind eyes open. The dead raised. I've seen it. I've seen it because I believe what is written. I believe what God has written. Years ago, scientists managed to develop a bathysphere that could go down into the very depths of the ocean. They discovered that there are freshwater springs bubbling up in the oceans. Well, actually, could have saved them a gazillion amount of money, because it's actually in the book. In the book, it's in the Psalms where it says that fresh water springs come up into the ocean. Hey, you know, how did the psalmist know that? Because he and God were whispering to one another. This is the God who's madly in love with you. He wrote love letters. He wrote your name. Jesus is praying for you. 2 Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. Sorry, Colossians 2 and verse 2 and 3. And just to continue your praying, and pray that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the fullness of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything is in God. Mathematics, science, all came out of God. All things. So I want to just encourage you to try using this. Try it for a week or two. Put your name in there. If you don't come back different, come and tell me. If you don't come back different, come and tell me. Amen?
Amen.
It's about life-changing situations, life-changing prayers, life-changing. And God bringing His provision in for you and for me, and bringing us to that place where He will shine through you. He will empower you and use you for His glory. One final scripture. No, I've got two scriptures to read to you. Amos. Chapter 8 and verse 11. And Amos is one of the minor prophets, but he prophesied this: "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." There is a famine in our nations for the word of God. Oh, we'll go to church and we'll have a happy clappy time. I don't seem to be giving us the strength. We do not seem to be affecting our nations. It's the word. There will be a hunger and a thirsting for the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17 says this. Romans 10 and verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." Faith will only grow, faith will only come when you begin to hear the word of God. Faith will grow in your life when you begin to hear and receive the word of God. And so praying this word of God over yourself, over your family life, you will begin to see things change. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to change things. I believe that God wants to change you all as individuals. I believe He wants to empower you in a greater way than you've ever been empowered before. In Jesus' name. Let's just pray.